Hello, you're listening to the Sunday Show Tunes podcast. I'm Paul.
And I'm Maureen. Coming up on today's episode, we'll be chatting with Broadway star Brad Oscar about Mrs. Doubtfire. And more as well, we'll be talking with YouTube sensation Christina Bianco.
Internationally acclaimed artist Christina Bianco returns to the Crazy Cox in London next month, joined by award-winning vocalist and Broadway performer Nicholas King with their show Together Again for the first time. Christina's with us now. Hi, Christina. How are you?
Hi. I am so happy to be speaking with you and very good. I'm very good because I am flying to London officially as a resident with no New York home to come back to for a little while. So it's the real big move.
Soon. That's the big one. That's the big, we cannot wait to have you over here.
This is the one we've been waiting for.
I know. Only been talking about it for like 5 years, but officially but for 2 years.
It's happening. Okay. So Christina, tell us about your new show.
Oh my goodness. I am so excited. And whenever people say that about a show, like, I'm so excited, I'm bringing something really new. You kind of roll your eyes and feel free, roll them. I could hear it from here. But I'm given a unique opportunity because one of my favorite performers of all time, performers to go see, a human being to hang out with, said, I'm going to be in London. And he's performed all over the world and he never has ever performed in London. And his name is Nicholas King. And this is this man is way younger than me, but he has worked, so much. I don't even know how he crammed so much into his very young life. He was in a million Broadway shows as a kid and then immediately started performing on all these TV shows, even The Tonight Show, and here in the States,
Which is
incredibly, incredibly huge.
Huge.
He was an opening act for Liza Minnelli. So, of course,
I
need to be a friend of this person.
Wow.
In fact, Liza Minnelli is his godmother. Liza Minnelli's vocal coach is his grandmother. So it's a very tight-knit group. He is one of the most astounding singers. He primarily does a lot of swing and jazzy stuff. But obviously, like I said, he comes from a Broadway background, so he kind of sings everything. And I love those, as you can tell from what I love in music. I love vocalists and performances to go see shows where you hear so many genres and styles covered in one night. Mm. And so I thought this would be so amazing if I could just, even though I have no time whatsoever, cram in one more show in
just
London.
One more.
So I could finally work with Nicholas. When I was doing my farewell shows at Birdland in New York, I had him join me for a song. And there was a song that I sang in Funny Girl that I just thought, this is a great song. This reminds me of a Stephen Eady song. And I just thought Nicholas King and I should be the Stephen Eady, the new Stephen Eadys of our time. So you'll be hearing some songs from Funny Girl. You'll be hearing some standards, the really beautiful standards that everybody knows. You know, whether you remember them or not, you go, oh, I know that song. Because in every movie and everywhere you hear it.
Yeah.
And with me, there's always something a little wacky that's going to happen. And there's some pop stuff too, but all different interpretations. And the music director I've worked with for so long now, Ryan McKenzie, another infuriatingly young and talented gentleman. he's just done this massive, successful concert that was part of the Guildhall Jazz Festival. And he's really flying high on that. And his gorgeous arrangements are so spectacular. So I'm set up with these incredible two talents, plus great bass, drums, and even a guest horn player, so I can have my own cornet man, if you know the reference. And and for me, it's not a secret. I'm going to throw in an impression or two, but it's always nice when I get to do something that's in my own voice, and particularly considering I'm going to be going off on the road doing a lot of impressions in little voice, I thought it would be nice just to kind of be me for a little while and have a real celebratory concert with some of the most talented musicians I know, and honestly, to take the spotlight off of just me for a while, because I really enjoy sharing a stage, and this is a great opportunity for me to do that. Trust me, I will be singing solos, so if people are out there like, I don't know if I want to see this gentleman, you should first of all look him up. I know that we're all going to get our moment to shine, but we're going to do some fabulous duets together. And the last bit of babbling I'll say is that Nicholas King for years has worked with a recent late arranger and pianist named Mike Renzi. Mike Renzi was Mel Torme's pianist the whole way and worked with Peggy Lee and went on tour with Peggy Lee. So a lot of the other arrangements you're going to hear are very, very special arrangements And my Ryan McKenzie will be reading the original charts made by Mike Renzi. So if you are a little bit of a music nerd in that way, it's just extra fascinating.
So exciting.
And the comedy finale is that he's one of the only performers that I can look in the eye when I'm performing because he's quite short. So it really will be the most grand moment for me.
So you need to sit at the front, otherwise no one will see either of you.
Oh, that's how we chose Zadell's Crazy Cox, February 10th, 9:15. And I think the last really, really sort of pushy thing to say is that my birthday is only a few days prior. So I'm really also doing this to celebrate
a cake.
Great birthday.
No, bring don't a cake bring a cake, and just gifts.
Your presence would be the best present.
Oh, yeah. They all say that. So, once you've done this, once you've moved into the UK, in March you're heading off on a UK tour starring as Elvie in Rise and Fall of Little Voice. It must be
so
a dream role for you.
So excited for this.
It is. I mean, we teased it the last time we spoke because it kept being postponed. But this has been in the works for a very long time, and it's with everything we've all been through, I'm so grateful to finally be doing this beautiful piece, and a piece that is, even though it has a lot of heavy subject matter for part of the play, the rest of it is comedic and uplifting, and you get to hear this joyous music, and the whole show is about balance, right? I think it's about,
yes,
it's about the light and the dark, and our director likes to word it as, you know, finding your voice in a noisy world, and I love that. I think that it's also about, and forgive me because if people know the show, it's a little bit on the nose, but it's also about rising from the ashes and starting again and
not being
afraid
to move forward. And that's, I feel like that's what the world's doing
right
now.
That's what we're doing now. Exactly. So very poignant.
Even though it's a period piece, meaning it's you can't really take it out of the 90s time period that it's in, it's absolutely timely. And again, the music is everlasting. And see, the music in Little Voice is, of course, very similar to a lot of the music I'll be doing in my show with Nicholas. So it's a nice segue.
If there's ever a thing that needed to go together, it's Christina Bianco and Rise and Fall of Little Voice. It has to be. So this is a role pretty much, it could have been written for you.
I was going to say that. It was written for you almost. Literally.
Well, knowing that it was
actually so perfect.
Written, thank you. I was like, knowing that it's actually was written for Jane Horrocks and that she's been she's been the gold standard of so many impressions for, her performance in that play, but movie that we all got to see. She's the gold standard for impressions, particularly those voices. And so it's big shoes to fill, and a lot of talented women have played the role since. The brilliant Jess Robinson did the last tour. So I'm just very aware of the task that's ahead of me as an impressionist, but it's very fun for me to sink my teeth into the role as an actor and also to take on the Northern accent. So it'll be really good.
We cannot wait. Christina Bianco, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, you are
thank
such
you
a dream.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure chatting with you guys. I hope to see you at all of the events. Thank you.
All of them. All of them.
All of them, for sure. Together again for the first time is at London's Crazy Cox on the 10th of February. The Rise and Fall of Little Voice begins its UK tour in Southampton on the 23rd of March. For more information, head to christinabianco.com.
Tony-nominated actor Brad Oscar, best known for hit Broadway shows such as The Producers and Something Rotten, is currently starring as Frank Hillard in Mrs. Doubtfire at the Stephen Sondheim Theatre on Broadway. He's with us now.
Lovely.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
We are great. Thank you.
We are so happy to have you on the show.
So excited.
My pleasure.
There's so much to talk about. The thing we really want to know about is Mrs. Doubtfire. Tell us about Mrs. Doubtfire. What makes it different from all those other movies turned musicals?
Well, look, what makes every show or story, right? It's the story. It's what it is. So this story right now, especially about family, how we see family, different kinds of family, that whole idea. What's wonderful about bringing this story to life now and then elevating it to the musical form, right, where it will sing, ideally, right, which makes it a good musical, hopefully, is the way that any show sort of lives and breathes and connects to an audience. And this show, you know, we've been doing it, it's ironic, we've been doing it now for over 2 years in bits and pieces, God bless, but we've seen how audiences respond to the show and what that exchange of energy is like. And so I think that, each individual project needs to stand on its own. And certainly when movies are adapted now to musicals, because it happens so very often. And let's face it, I would say well over half the time, it's not worth the effort. It doesn't improve upon the source material.
Yep.
And oftentimes it's not successful. And I put that in quotes, meaning right. commercially, financially, it doesn't mean there's not great work or a great score or a this or a mm-hmm. that. There's always good stuff. No one sets out to write a bad
show.
No,
exactly.
Except for Max Bialystock. but you know, so anyway, yes, every show has to live and die on its own merits, its own story, execution, whatever. And this one does. It's a wonderful story about literally what a man will do, what lengths he'll go to be with his kids, who he's been with every
Love
day,
that.
And suddenly they're being taken away from him in a way that is unacceptable to him because of his love and his passion and all that. And so, and yes, we're living in a heightened reality where, yes, we're going to believe that he dresses up as a nanny and it works and it's what it is. And, but again, that's why also it plays as a musical, because we have to take a certain level of, we have to jump into that world of right. not disbelief. You know what I mean, right?
Yes, it's larger completely. Than life.
You know, these things, people don't sing, you know, well, I sort of do sometimes.
Yeah, but, we kind of do too.
I was going to say, we do too. So you're
glad
in right company.
Here. I feel safe here. I feel safe.
It's a safe space, Brad.
Exactly. But, you know, so anyway, you know, for all the reasons, ideally, as I've been saying, that you know, that make a show work and ideally tell the story well. Yeah, I think that's what's
now,
happening.
What about, okay, the 9-week hiatus, Brad. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you can't scare us. We had an 18-month hiatus.
I know. So, you know, guys are the little show that could.
It's crazy.
The big show that could.
Yeah.
Is this a risky, you know, is this risky for the show, the 9-week, or is it better?
Well, here's the deal. There were two choices. There were two options, basically. The show was going to close if normal times, shows are open or closed, right? This is new.
Yeah.
This does not happen. So the fact is, with what was happening right now in the city, the rise of the dreaded Omicron and the literally evaporation of tourists and audiences, I tell you, I've never seen anything like it in my life. Christmas week, which is usually you can't get a ticket Christmas week to the show that is selling the least tickets on Broadway. You can't get a ticket Christmas week to anything because there are so many. Believe me, it was scary. Audiences were like evaporating. So anyway. For Doubtfire, new show. Yes, we had an advance. Yes, we were ready, but all that dried up. We were either going to close the second or third week of January at the longest, because by that point we would have lost well over $1 million. And who's going to continue to put money, into the show? Or what's never been done before and was able to be done because of the cooperation and generosity of certainly the Roundabout Theater Company and Todd Hames, excuse me, who are our landlords. Mm-hmm. So they also were able to help make this work. 9 weeks, we're sort of just in limbo. Now, technically, the show closed contractually, union-wise. You know, we got 14, 15 different unions in that building.
Yep.
From the ushers and the box
That's
office
right.
to the orchestra and the crew and the dressers and the actors and the ba-ba-da-ba-da. So to get everybody on one page to try to make that work would be impossible. Let's face it, in the spur of the moment, impossible. So Kevin McCullum, our lead producer, a true man of the theater who I truly believe, in the big picture, you know, yes, he's a producer, so he's got to deal with a lot of stuff, but he has our best interests at heart and he wants this show to, to have a life. And so he was able to make it work that, again, we closed the show. So right now, none of us are under contract, but on March 15th, we pick back up exactly where we were.
Great.
Same contracts, same agreements with everyone in that building from the front to the back. And we will, God willing, continue on because audiences will be back because we will have squelched this. It'll be spring. You know, all the reasons that we hope we're going to get back to our lives and still manage to deal with this and juggle, but hopefully not have this an explosion again that really rocks us, especially us, live theater, the very thing that we need people to be there. We need, you know, ironically, I feel like it's still not ironically, it's a very safe place to be, the theater. I'm going to the theater currently, because I have some downtime, but I feel safe in the theater. Let me tell you, our rules here, our setup are extraordinary. We, you know, just
I think, of course, you guys are doing it the right way. Yeah.
But everyone is masked and they stay on top of that. And I feel safe in a theater right now, as far as that goes. Whereas maybe in a restaurant, again, without masks and everyone together.
Not so much.
Right now, with what we're dealing with right now, not so much. So, you know, yeah, but yes, I'm very optimistic. I fully believe that if things go our way as far as that part, and that also, again, we don't lose a significant chunk of people, although I can't imagine where anyone would be going right now as far as another job in live theater, especially at home on the Broadway, which, as we know, is you know, something wonderful and rare enough anyway.
Right. So everybody's going to be back, and it's the audiences are going to come back in. You got to put the positivity out there. March 15th, people.
So March 15th, when we get back to the Stephen Sondheim Theater, tell us about the character you're playing in Mrs. Doubtfire.
I am playing Frank Hillard, the brother of our main character, Daniel Hillard. And Frank and his husband, Andre, work in television. Frank is the hair guy and Andre is the makeup guy. And so in his desperation, as we know, if we've seen the film, Daniel comes to Frank and his brother-in-law to help him create this disguise in order to get back into his kids' lives and be their caretaker, as 'twere. So, yes, it's a lovely featured. It's fun. They've expanded our stuff a little from the film, of course. So we have. Me and Jay. They've brilliantly, you know, again, the ways that you open up material and you hope you're not futzing with it too much, that it loses its organic humor and reason for being. And they've expanded the scene where the social worker comes to his apartment and he's got to go back and forth and he's trying to disguise it. And it ends with the pie in the face, the pie in the face, which is a classic moment. But they've opened that up now to include myself and J. Harrison G., the actor who plays Andre, my husband, who I can't say enough about. and it is very, at first in rehearsal, stressfully referred to as the farce scene, which is, as an actor, a hell of a way to say, okay, let's rehearse the farce scene. There's a setup. Oh, gee. You're hoping it's farcical and funny. And indeed, it's such a fun scene to play. And I also, I've had the opportunity to work with Jerry Zaks, our director, for the first time. And Jerry is four or five time Tony winner. Yeah. Jerry was the king of the hill when I moved to the city in the mid-80s. Jerry has done such work and is a master of directing the American musical comedy. And I, at the ripe old age that I am, have learned so much in working with him, and I'm so grateful and wish I'd had the opportunity. I said to Jerry, I would have been a much better actor these last 30 something years had I been able to work with you sooner.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, so is there a musical that you could watch over and over and over again? For me, that musical is The Producers, which I've seen very different. And I saw you in 2001. Would that be right?
Yeah, well,
am I trying to remember my year correctly?
No, yeah, we opened in 2001. And the first year, yes, I was on as the understudy for Nathan Lane as Max. I was playing Franz Liebken, the crazy Nazi, and then going on for Max when Nathan went down. Yes, and then I took over as Mac, but yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Oh. You talk so about is, a gift.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, to an actor as well as an audience.
Exactly.
Believe me. Yeah. Totally.
What a character. But is there a musical for you that stands out that you could watch over and over and over again?
Oh, wow. That I could watch, right? Which is different, you know, as opposed
which
to.
Which is different.
Right. Which is because, you know, God bless. I did that Producers. I played Max once I took over. I did it over 1,300 times. I played Max. And some of those were at Theatre Royal Drury Lane.
Which is,
again, one of the highlights.
That's right.
What a dream and what an amazing place to be. And I'm so excited to just be with you, to have some connective tissue right now to the West End is so exciting.
Love it.
loved my time over there, and I can't wait to get back and just be there in that neighborhood too, and absorb and go to the theater and all that stuff. So anyway, well, I mean, you know, my end all be all as far as yes, pieces of musical theater is and a lot of people have this answer, of course, which is wonderful, is Sweeney Todd, you know, the demon. Yeah. Yeah, that to me has always been just, you know, it came along at a time in my life. I was 15 or 6, you know, in those formative years when something like that, which was so new at the time, to see things like that. And, you know, and then the original productions of Nine and Dreamgirls, yeah. Also a couple years later, you know, musical theater was going in new, you know, again, directions. As it always does, as it continues to yep. do so to this day. But in your formative years, when yep. you are still learning and absorbing and loving, some of those shows still are just, you know, and Sweeney has always been. Yeah.
Sweeney Todd for me is definitely the one that made me go, oh, musicals can also be this. Mm-hmm. And I think because mm-hmm. you're aware of all of the Rodgers and Hammersteins and all of those, right. but you're suddenly like, oh, okay, I get it now. And that was the one right. that I think sent me off on the path going, this yeah. is an art form I just absolutely love. Brad, we're out of time.
No,
I hate that.
No, wait, I'm getting on a plane. I'll be right there. I'll meet you at Joe Allen. I haven't been to the new Joe Allen since it moved, so I'm desperate to get back.
So, yeah,
don't tease us, Brad. Don't tease us.
It's a date. Listen, we need to catch up with you. We need to catch up with you again very soon. Brad, Oscar, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you all. Stay well. Be well.
Mrs. Doubtfire. The musical performances will resume on the 15th of March on Broadway at the Stephen Sondheim Theater.
Well, that's it for this episode. We'd like to say a huge thank you to Brad, Oscar, and Christina Bianco for joining us.
If you've enjoyed listening, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite listening platform.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Maureen.
And you've been listening to the Sunday Show Tunes podcast.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.